Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Final hour of the program, which is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Bill Ryder with you. Adam Hawk, Garrett Ritt here in studio in Southern California, filling in for Jim Rome. Tom DeCelestino, D-Cell, back in New York City. Tom Benedetto helping out as well. And if you want to give us a call, you want to participate, love to hear from you, clones. 1-800-636-8686. RomeAtHaveATake.com. Jim on Twitter at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. Jim off next week as well. I'll be here, I think, Wednesday and Thursday. And as always, absolutely awesome to have the opportunity to fill in for Jim. Jeff Goodman from Stadium is coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. And Jeff and I each got our big break in this business together, which was being on Jim Rome's TV show on CBS Sports Network. There's always, I always like being on, getting to fill in when Goodman can come on. But mark my words, like a drinking game, Goodman's going to lie to you. I'm going to bring up the fact that we were both on Rome. Goodman's going to tell you that I had a terrible Dwight Howard take the first time we ever did TV together. Goodman's the one that had that take. He's going to lie to you on the Jim Rome Show. That's not okay. Prepare for it. So the NBA bubble, assuming it goes, and we have, the media has, the NBA has focused on how you get basketball back, and now whether and if it can actually happen, continue, and finish for all the reasons that are obvious and all the reasons that make sense. But let's just presume for the sake of this conversation, you know, talk some sports, that the bubble works to the degree that there can be these eight games, the playoffs take place, the playoffs happen, NBA champion is crowned. This is going to be not just the most unusual playoff run in the history of the sport, it's also, as Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Bucks star, said, going to be the most daunting.
At the end of the day, this is going to be the toughest like championship you could ever win, because like the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
100% accurate for a variety of reasons. Let's go into some of them before we get into why this will be the ultimate test of LeBron James' greatness. He's already on the Mount Rushmore. He's there.
Me?
Yeah, you big guy. He wants to pass Jordan. And don't underestimate, even though it feels like 50 years ago, time is different in the COVID-19 time, right? It just feels different. Don't underestimate the motivation and anger and chip on his shoulder. And really, and I don't say it as a bad thing, though LeBron haters will hear it that way, or maybe uber LeBron supporters, the insecurity or you took my shine reaction to Michael Jordan being celebrated in this vacuum when the 30 for 30 came out. LeBron's going to be a man on fire. The challenge in front of him to continue to try to carve his name as the greatest of all time is going to be, as Giannis said, the most difficult ever. There's no home court advantage. That is huge. And if you've been lucky enough to go to an NBA finals or conference finals like I have for work, you know that there are series that feel like in some significant way have shifted on the crowd. Certainly at Warriors games, certainly that Cavs team. You can just sometimes feel the crowd have an impact and make guys play a different way. I mean, look at what Kevin Durant did when they were up 3-1 against the Warriors a few years ago. Yes, they could have won a game in Oklahoma City, but that Oracle crowd was a big part of it. No home court advantage is going to be a very different thing. And the fact that there's going to be almost certainly guys that have to quarantine, that have to sit out during games of the playoffs, is going to create some imbalances we don't expect. The Mavericks could be the underdog against the Clippers, and that could flip on its head if the virus, unfortunately, gets itself, its tentacles into that Clippers team. But beyond all of that is the fact that it's going to be every other day, that you're going to be utterly away from your family, away from your friends, and my kids are listening, I'll just say this as family friendly as I can, but these are young athletic guys, married and not married. They're not going to have the company of any women in their lives. They're not going to be able to hang out with any buddies. They're not going to be able to go and have dinner. Everything about being a human being and having some joy away from work is going to be gone. I know you don't feel sorry for them. They're going to make a lot of money. But think about whatever job you do. You love it, you hate it. If that was your world, and maybe occasionally you could go golf with a couple of your colleagues. And the ability to mentally deal with that. the ability to stay focused and not be irritable, not be angry, that is going to weigh on every single guy. It's going to weigh on LeBron more than any other player in that bubble for a few, I think, significant reasons. One, we are returning to NBA basketball in large part, and there's a lot of other factors here, but in large part because LeBron said it's okay. If LeBron James opts out, I think Adam Silver's ability to make this playoff happen, it's not zero, but it's certainly lower than 50%. LeBron James is the guy. He is the tail that wags the dog in the NBA. And that's because his window is closing. We know that. That's why he's going. And I believe he loves the game, et cetera, et cetera. This is one chance at a championship that will never come again. The sands are falling through the hourglass. And that's a level of pressure on LeBron James that's going to be interesting to see how he handles it. Because he is something of a paradox in that respect. In those finals appearances, over the back end of that, seven consecutive finals that he made a run to, the guy was the best player on the floor and a machine. I mean, that first year against the Warriors when he didn't have Kyrie and didn't have Kevin Love, he put up numbers that were absolutely insane. They were insane. But he also was a guy, when he had to handle a new kind of pressure, a different kind of pressure, a kind of hatred he didn't anticipate that first year in Miami, he utterly crumbled. He utterly collapsed. Both is true. He's going to be in a really tough environment where his legacy being on the line is going to be something that's in his face every day that he can't psychologically turn away from, because the bubble doesn't exist and he's not playing for the Lakers if his legacy weren't coming near the conclusion of its run. And the second thing, and I got to be careful here because I don't want to disparage LeBron James to you. I really don't. I like LeBron. Covered LeBron in Miami. Crushed him as a writer. It's part of the reason Jim put me on this show. Jim putting me on the show as a guest is part of the reason my career went the direction that it went. But I like the guy. And I think he's a really complicated, interesting, nuanced dude. If you say he's the worst athlete in sports or the best guy in sports, you don't know what you're talking about. He's the most interesting guy in sports. His level of intellect, his basketball IQ, his interest beyond basketball, his skill set, his natural ability, his work ethic, his overwhelming ambition, the fact he was a childhood star, he's a complicated guy. But everybody knows around the NBA, this is, everybody knows. I'm not sure how many times people talk about it. I'll talk about it. He is a notoriously moody guy. A notoriously moody human being, which is fine. I'm sure my wife would tell you I'm a notoriously moody husband. I certainly have notoriously moody colleagues. Why is everybody looking at Garrett? Why is everybody looking at Aaron? LeBron James and his moodiness has always been this reality that either hasn't impacted his play or people have pretended it doesn't. And it does impact the play of the people around him. LeBron James, again, going to what my kids are watching, my son Henry is so into the Avengers. So let me use a superhero analogy here. Has a power that is massive that he either doesn't know how to control or doesn't care to control. And that is the impact of the gravitational forces of his being LeBron on the people around him. LeBron's angry, everybody's angry. LeBron's moody, everybody's got a dark cloud over him. LeBron's feeling the love and throwing it to the guys he never talks to, they feel good about themselves. And how LeBron James handles what I don't know any of us would handle well, and that you don't know until you're in it. This is like one of those really messed up experiments where, you know, NASA puts a bunch of astronauts in a bubble in Arizona in the desert for 7 months, and one of those people lose their minds, and two of them fall in love, and one decides he wants to be a poet. You don't know what's going to happen. LeBron James is going to be away from his children, from his wife, from his friends, from his home, from his habits. LeBron has a group of guys from high school that he has brought along with him. Maverick Carter runs his entertainment business. I mean, there's a whole, and they're all extremely impressive guys, but that's a family for LeBron. He has proudly talked about where he comes from in Akron and allowing his ability and his work ethic and his greatness to give opportunities to guys that are like brothers to him. They're not going to be there. He's going to be in a bubble by himself, like every other guy, for months or at least weeks, if he's able to make the run that he anticipates. And like the Jordan flu game, but on a much, much more of a marathon timeline, LeBron is going to confront something he didn't anticipate in pursuit of the kind of greatness that he covets. And that is a pandemic-fueled level of isolation away from everyone that will test his moodiness and his ability not to wreak havoc on the emotions and the mood of his teammates and his coaches that he never could have saw coming.
Strive for greatness out here, cuz.
He is so good. Jordan was able in that one game. And by the way, flu game, Pizzagate game, I don't care. The guy couldn't stand and he was amazing. I don't care what it was. I don't care about the pizza guy says it wasn't true. I don't care. It wasn't a hangover. I've had hangovers. I've had many. Jordan physically overcame something that really isn't supposed to be about basketball. And now LeBron's going to have to do the same thing. To be a great player at any sport, you shouldn't have to endure and test your ability to be away from your family and loved ones. To be stuck with guys you don't want to be around. To be annoyed over and over by the people in your world because you can't leave a bubble. Look, I'm not hating on Disney. They're doing the best they can. ESPN's doing the best they can. I get it. The NBA is doing the best they can. That's going to, at a minimum, be not a... The best case scenario for every guy in that bubble is it won't be a miserable experience. That's the best case scenario. I am a average guy who's the furthest thing from famous and makes an okay living. And I am pretty weird about where I sleep, what I eat, being told what to do, being stuck somewhere. I cannot imagine being LeBron James or any of these players, and you're used to the world revolving around you. It does. No matter how much you try to keep your head on your shoulders, the world revolves around you. You snap your fingers, and it happens if you're LeBron James. Period. His word is the law of the Los Angeles Lakers. In ways big and small, you don't pack your own bags. You don't make your own food. Everything that you and I have to do over the course of a normal day in our life, someone does it for LeBron James. And he's going to go into a bubble where that's not going to be true in the way that he's used to. It's a funny story, but look at the food that first awaited the first NBA players who arrived. That snack tray would have made me angry. Hell, you put me on an American Airlines flight, and that's what I get. I'm angry. Just on a flight. You're stuck in a bubble. You can't go to a restaurant. You're quarantined. All of these things are going to test LeBron. This is going to be the most unanticipated, bizarre test of his greatness over the course of his career. Giannis is right. It's going to be the most difficult NBA championship in the history of the NBA to try and get a win on. You don't know who's going to be there day to day. You're not going to have home court advantage. You're not going to get to sleep in your own bed. You're not going to go fall back into the habits. And LeBron in particular has had to build them to overcome some of his shortcomings in the playoffs in the past that make you feel comfortable. The whole one game at a time, it's just a game, I'm focused on this. It's not going to be true. That only works if you can leave the arena after a loss and leave it for a while. You can't leave it. Every loss, every slight real and imagined, every missed shot, every missed opportunity, every reminder that Avery Bradley's not there, every time you're stuck in line with Dwight Howard and you have to listen to him, whatever inane things he has to say, that is something you cannot and will not escape. It is going to be the ultimate test for LeBron James. And by the way, we didn't even get into the road. The Rockets, who I don't buy, there's no home court. Who knows how James Harden plays in a neutral court? Maybe it's pickup basketball, and this guy is literally sinking 15 three-pointers every other game. That's a series you can lose. Maybe, and they have a tough road to hoe here with the teams in front of them and winning a couple games to get there, but I don't want to play the Portland Trail Blazers. Have you seen that roster if Portland actually gets in as the nine, wins a couple games, presumably against Memphis? It's a really good basketball team. I don't want to play the Los Angeles Clippers, which is obviously going to be part of the road. Denver looks like they might be better. I'm not worried about Utah anymore. And I still think the Dallas Mavericks are a really dangerous team. Luka Doncic is a superstar who will win multiple MVPs over the course of his career. What is it, year three we're in with him? He's going to be third in the MVP voting this year, probably, maybe fourth. They're one of the best road teams in the NBA, which, again, we're guessing, but I think that translates. As much as Philly is probably screwed from this bubble because they're 29-2 at home and they have the worst record of any of the top 16 teams right now on the road, the Mavericks are on the other side of things. Porzingis has looked really good. Rick Carlisle has obviously been there, done that. It's a tough road. And then you got to get to an NBA Finals. And by the way, at every step of the way, you also have to do it without having yourself or your teammates have to quarantine for 10 days. This is going to be, and it's such a twisted, ugly, unfair deal, but guess what? Life is unfair, and a lot of you know that in 2020, right? Unfortunately, that's just the reality. it will be the ultimate test of LeBron James because it is the truest test. Every obstacle that you could imagine for an NBA player and a whole bunch we never could have thought up are thrown in front of LeBron. And the reason that he's going to get a chance to clear them or not is because he, not Adam Silver, he decided basketball needed to happen because he can see the sands running through the hourglass. It is his career. Is he up to it? I don't actually know. But we're going to know a whole bunch about LeBron that we didn't. The way we did Jordan that flu game when this thing is over. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. Bill Ryder filled in for Jim Rome. Rome at haveatake.com. At Jim Rome, jimrome.com. Let's do this. I love Jeff Goodman. My guy, Jeff Goodman, who's going to lie to you about my Dwight Howard take, but is otherwise a wonderful person, is going to talk some hoops and some Jim Rome memories when we continue here on the Jim Rome Show.
Me?
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder with you here on the program on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Thanks for listening. Phone number 1-800-636-8686. Having a great time filling in for Jim. Thanks to the guys for making it so easy. If you want to reach out, you can also hit us up at rome@haveatake.com. Jim's on Twitter at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. And I'm on Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I bring this up a lot. I bring this up a lot when I'm not on the Jim Rome Show. I certainly do when I'm on Jim's show, how bizarre and cool it is that I get to fill in because of the many ways that my career has been helped again and again and again by Jim. I was a listener of this show, a clone of this show for so long. And even before I knew I'd do radio, took in the excellence of what Jim's about. Jim put me as a guest on his radio show during, it started with that LeBron James year in Miami. I like LeBron. Hawk and I were just talking about this. I like LeBron. He's just such a complicated, complicated cat. Such a complicated dude. And at other steps along the way, Jim has put me on his TV shows and various things. And the first time I did his TV show was with Jeff Goodman, who has since blown up, now basketball insider for Stadium. And we sat in this green room as nervous as could be waiting to meet Jim. So it's so weird. It's still weird. We've done this, Jeff Goodman, that you're here on the show. Buddy, I don't know how we got here based on our performances on that TV show that first time.
Yeah, I mean, who sucked worse?
You. But it was close.
It was close.
No, it might have been me. It was close. We were both pretty bad. I can't believe they didn't just send us home.
You defended Dwight Howard that whole week.
Oh, there's the lie. Dude, I love how you lie about it. I warned the audience this time you're going to lie about it. I want the
tape. You may win a title after all. Listen, Dwight Howard has a chance to ride the coattails of LeBron and AD, and right? I mean, he could win a title now.
Is he an automatic Hall of Famer for you? Because he's not for me, but I feel like I'm on an island on this thing.
Yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I'm with you. I mean, this thing's been watered down. A lot of it is done by numbers, and the numbers say he's a Hall of Famer. But when you look at it with the other things, the intangibles, the fact that he can ruin a locker room, then I'm not sure he's a Hall of Famer.
Jeff Goodman, years later, finally getting it right on Dwight Howard. By the way, listen to the Good and Plenty podcast. Jeff, NBA, baseball, college sports, where do you come down and just in the move? And I know every sport is different, but how do you feel about our return across the board, our attempted return at sports?
You know, I feel like the NBA has the best shot of being able to pull it off just because I have more faith in Adam Silver than any other commissioner. I just feel like he's smarter. He gets it. Obviously, the players are going to have to stay in lockstep here. I did a podcast with Duncan Robinson yesterday, who I still think is maybe the coolest story in the NBA. Starts at Division III Williams College, goes to Michigan, is a piece at Michigan. And not only is he an NBA player right now, but he's a starter for a playoff team, the Miami Heat. So I talked to him while he was, in the bubble yesterday. And I think they're doing the right thing in giving him every chance to succeed. Now, again, could it fail? Sure. I mean, listen, if one player comes down positive, what do you do, right? I mean, I'm sure there's protocol in place, but what are you going to do? I mean, I don't have much faith in college sports. I don't, just because the leadership is so bad at the top, and frankly, you've got such a wide gap between the high majors, right? Alabama football and Akron football, that I just, the Ivy League football, as we've seen, they're not going to end up playing it most likely. So I don't think college football stands nearly the chance that the NBA or some of the pro leagues do. But listen, to me, let's just worry about playing one game. Let's get to one game of NBA. Let's get to one baseball game. Let's get to one NFL game. And then we can worry about, you know, I heard people talking today about the college football playoffs and what a shame it would be if you can't have a college. I'm not worried about that or the NCAA tournament. I just want to get to like one game of everything.
Jeff Goodman here on the show on Twitter at Goodman Hoops, basketball insider for Stadium. Jeff, I just, a little bit earlier in the show, I made the point, I believe it absolutely, that the combination of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, even if Durant is who he used to be, and we don't know if that's going to be the case post-injury, I don't think the Nets will make an NBA Finals, let alone win one. A lot of that is because of Kyrie Irving. You're based in Boston. You write and talk and report a lot on that Celtics team. So you're there. You give me your perspective. What did you make? What did that organization make of Kyrie's talent versus Kyrie's personality and its impact on that basketball team?
Listen, you know, I mean, I've probably been ahead of the game here on Kyrie for a long time in saying his talent is exceptional. Nobody will deny that, but he just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it, and he thinks he's smarter than he is, and he thinks he's a leader and tries to be a leader when he's not, and it's going to backfire. You know, in Brooklyn, obviously, next year when he and KD you know, form together a great duo talent-wise, it's just going to be interesting to see how some of those other young guys do with those two. And I've known KD since he was 14. I love KD, but, yeah, I think he's changed too. I think he's become thin-skinned in a lot of ways where that was never the case before and never had to be the case, Bill, because in Oklahoma City and Texas and when he was younger, never a bad word was said about him. And then all of a sudden he goes to Golden State. And he's not the favorite son. He's a guy who got crushed. And I think he's always wanted to be liked by everybody. At that point, he wasn't. So I think certainly he changed. And, you know, he thinks it's like, you know, anybody, right? If you don't work with him, you hang out with him a ton, right? You love him. But then you got to work with him every single day, and it changes. We know that, and that's how I think it's going to be with KD and Kyrie. And, oh, by the way, both are injury-prone. Both. I mean, KD is going to be 32, and he's coming off a significant injury. And Kyrie is always injured right now, whether it's, you know, knees, whether it's, you know, shoulder, whatever it is. I mean, Kyrie seemingly is always hurt.
Jeff Goodman, I 100% with you, and I love the – because you're right. I've had friends in the business – who were great buddies until they produced me or we had to work together or whatever it was. It's a different thing day in, day out.
It'd be like me working with you, Bill. I love you, but I could never work with you. I'd kill you.
I was the opposite. Like, I couldn't stand you from a distance, and I met you. I'm like, this guy's great. No, actually, I thought you were great. I can't believe you and I both do TV, by the way. I just keep going back to how bad we were on that Jim Rome show. It was amazing.
But you know what? It shows you, and I tell my daughter this right now. My daughter's 16. And she's starting to do a bunch of interviews. She didn't like sports for the first 16 years of her life. She's almost 17 now. And she's interviewing. She interviewed Frank Martin, your guy. And she interviewed him yesterday. She set up his Instagram account. He had never had one, and they did an interview yesterday. But I say it's all about reps, and she's getting them. And if you have, you know, to me, it took me, I don't know about you, but it took me to year three at ESPN. Before I just said, the hell with it. I don't care. I was on with Scott Van Pelt one night, and he screwed up a couple times, and he just laughed at himself and kept going. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, all right, he's like the GOAT, in my opinion, right now. He's the best there is. And if he can do that and have an off segment and screw up and just laugh it off and keep going, well, you know what? I can do that. And that's the biggest thing on TV is just kind of getting past it and not worried about if you screw up, thinking about it. Just keep going.
Jeff Goodman here on the show. Goodman, who in that same week introduced me to Courtney Cox, and she needed a lozenge. Remember that?
You still owe me for that.
Have I told this story on this show, the Courtney Cox story? I'll tell it. I'll tell it here in a second. I do owe you. I absolutely owe you. I got to pay it back. Goodman, let me ask you this NBA question though, because I'm really curious your take here. You might be the best person in the country to ask this question to, because you are the guy who covers both college and NBA, and certainly the intersection of them is a place you've got a lot of insight. The Warriors very well may have the number one pick in the draft, and we'll see whether or not they try to trade it, whether or not if they get that pick, they make a selection. But how many guys, if any, are in this upcoming draft who can be game changers? And obviously with the Warriors, if you drafted the right guy, it's not like you'd have to start over. You'd be pairing a potential future game changer with a pretty good basketball team. And anybody in the draft?
Zero will be game changers.
Zero.
Most GMs I've spoken to say if they had the number one pick, they would try to trade down. It's like the Chris Grant draft a few years ago, right, where he ended up getting fired in Cleveland because he took Anthony Bennett. But there was no, like, great choice. Same thing with this one. I would take, if I'm Bob Myers, I would take James Wiseman. And here's why. I think if you can't trade down, which you're not going to be able to do and pick up enough, you're just not. It's not worth enough. So James Wiseman, 7 feet, runs the court like David Robinson. He's not David Robinson. But he's that athletic and that smooth running the court and can impact the game defensively from a shot-blocking, shot-altering point of view. That's what they need in Golden State. Let's face it. They don't need a guy who's going to give them much offensively. He can give them 12, 15 minutes a game as a rookie. Probably not much more than that. Anthony Edwards out of Georgia shot 40% from the field, 30% from three, got some red flags off the court. Wiseman, the big question is he's too soft. He's too soft, right? And then you got LaMelo, who I think, man, if he ever ended up in Golden State, it'd be the best thing for LaMelo by far. For Steph to be able to tutor LaMelo and teach him the right way to play the game and the right way to act and all that, that's the best scenario for LaMelo. I love LaMelo's talent. I do, and I think he's matured some. Since I last saw him, which was a couple of years ago in Lithuania, he's certainly grown a lot. He's about 6'7" now, but still takes crazy shots, still doesn't really want to guard. But man, his innate ability, kind of like his brother Lonzo, but they do it differently to just make people better and see things on the court that others don't see. The difference is that Lonzo does it simply, where LaMelo does it kind of in a Rondo-ish type way and dribble, 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 no look pass. They're very different that way. It's obviously more flashy, where Lonzo, to me, is just doing it the right way.
I've certainly heard from people I trust that there are a couple GMs who would have to trade up to even have a chance here, but a couple well-respected GMs who really like LaMelo, and then a couple others who really don't. It sounds like there's not a lot of certainty and uniformity on how folks view this draft.
You know who will take LaMelo will be somebody like Leon Rose in New York.
Oh,
if they had an opportunity to, that
He's
wouldn't
done.
Shock me at all.
He's
Bring
done.
LaMelo to the Garden.
Oh.
And again, the thing that LaMelo needs more than anything is quality coaching, good people where he can mature, because his father has not given him that over the course of the last few years.
Really?
It's just move him around. Don't put him with people that are going to actually teach him the fundamentals of the game. And what the right thing is to do. And I think if he gets that, which is why I said, like, Golden State, man. Now, again, he won't play that much. Like, Golden State, if they get Wiseman next year, I mean, it's going to be really interesting, because if they come back healthy, Steph and Clay, and you got Draymond, I've never been a huge Wiggins guy, but as your fourth guy,
right?
I like Andrew Wiggins as my fourth guy.
That's a talented team.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'm with you, dude. Jeff Goodman, I always love talking to you, but it's particularly cool when you and I get to come full circle here on the Jim Rome Show.
No doubt, as always,
brother. Thanks, buddy.
No, this should be every time you do the Rome Show, you should almost have to have me on.
I think I do. It just has like a rule, just
I
a pay it forward
too.
Karma rule.
Unwritten rule. I appreciate it. Hope all is well. Enjoy out there, and hopefully we'll see each other soon.
All right, pal. Thank you, buddy. Jeff Goodman. on Twitter, Goodman Hoops. All right, I can't believe I haven't told this story. Jeff Goodman took me to a taping of Cougar Town, and I had a moment with Courtney Cox that you wouldn't believe if the world weren't already upside down. Maybe it adds a little believability. I will give you my famous Courtney Cox story, at least famous among me and my family members, when we continue here on the Jim Rome Show after this CBS Sports Radio update. Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Happy Friday. Man, this thing flew by. Thank you to Adam Hawk and Garrett Ritt here in Southern California, making things so easy.
Game on.
Love filling in. Love hanging out with these guys. Thank you to Tom DiBenedetto and Tom DiCelestino, who sent me a text message. I'm just going to read it to you, who wrote, "I want you to remember this is half my show still, and you only did half a good job." Thank you, D-Cell. I feel from D-Cell, that's D-Cell, who works in the studio back in New York, is just he just chats, man. Like, the whole time he's just talking to people. It's crazy. By the way, it's time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you, the clones, get to submit a question at cbsportradio.com/askthepros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hi, Bill. If you could be a professional athlete in any sport, what would it be? Thanks, Bella B. in Calgary. That is a great question. My entire life, or at least my life until I got to college, the answer would have been baseball. Love baseball, wanted to play baseball, thought it would have been amazing. I think it's different now. And I think it's probably because, as a father and a husband, I view my time differently. When I was single, playing baseball every day would have been amazing. I'm not a good enough golfer for this to even be remotely possible. And I'm not really good enough at anything, but certainly I'm better at tennis than any other sport. It would be tennis or golf, just because of the ability to take some time off if I wanted to and spend some time with my... That's a great question. I think... I'm lying. It'd be baseball. You know what? Sorry, Laurie and kids. You guys can just come. You can come on the road with me. Because that was always the dream as a kid, to be a baseball player. But to be honest, it wouldn't be the worst thing on the face of the earth to do any of those things. Not a single one of those things would be a bad way to make a living. I'll tell you what, too, and this is new. I would strongly consider being a soccer player. I've been watching so much La Liga. And I did that a little bit starting last year, the beginning of this soccer season that now has continued, because I went to Barcelona and fell in love with Barcelona. And I'll be watching a lot going forward, especially the Champions League on CBS. But just the amount of money those guys work, it's one game a week. And I'm being frank with you, the NFL would never be a consideration because I wouldn't want to put my body and my head in harm's way. I just wouldn't. And I've got enough friends that I've made, folks who were colleagues in radio and TV who played football, who told me they'd never let their kids play, that's enough for me. And that's not like that's a universal perspective, but, man, you talk to NFL players, honestly, 20 or 25%, at least with me, are going to tell you there's no chance I'm letting my kids play. So I guess I just gave you like four different sports and didn't answer the question. Baseball. I'll go baseball. As you get back to business, Grainger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery, Grainger, for the ones who get it done. One of the really bizarre, cool, weird things about doing this for a living are the moments that you get to have you never anticipated. I'm a kid from Dubuque, Iowa. Are the people that you get to meet, in some cases, become friends with. And I've talked about how much Jim Rome has elevated my career through how... And by the way, it's not just me. You talk to... And I was a writer when I began my sports media career. You talk to writers across the country, newspaper, columnists, websites, and it's a universal chorus of how good Jim is to people in this business. And here's some breaking news. The opposite is usually true. It just is in this business. But one of the things Jim also did is he's the reason I got to meet Courtney Cox. So when Jim's show was on CBS Sports Network, they would pick, if you remember, two, usually writers, to come out, and you get to do a segment, sometimes two segments with the Jim. It was awesome. And it's one of the reasons that I have the career that I have, and Jeff Goodman, who was just on. And the first night that I did it, that Monday, that first day, Jeff Goodman and I were so bad, and we walked out of there feeling like such losers. I said to Goodman, do you want to go get a beer or several drinks to just wash away what that felt like in humiliating ourselves in front of Jim Rome on television? And he's like, I can't. I'm going to a taping of Cougartown. Remember Cougartown? Do you want to go with me? Hell yeah, I want to go to Cougartown. Let's go. So we drive. I'd been to L.A. only a couple times. Drive into, I lived in Kansas City at the time. I live in L.A. now. Drive into, I don't know where we were, Century City or somewhere random. And we go onto this lot, and the guy who played the love interest on Cougartown, whose name I should be able to remember and can't, who was also in Quantico, it's the bad guy, I think, in Quantico, was a Goodman fan. So he's playing the guitar, we're hanging out, and he takes us down to the set. And on Cougartown, they were always drinking wine on the TV show. They're all drinking wine, and they're all wasted before they start filming. But I haven't seen Courtney Cox yet. And as a, you know, as a full-blooded American man, I think Courtney Cox is an incredibly dynamic woman. She's funny, she's cool, she's a very beautiful woman. Oh my gosh, right? By the way, that show does not age well. Have you guys watched Friends on Netflix? Any show that has the, here's my thing, any show that has the laugh track doesn't work. Just take the laugh track off so I can watch it without the fake laughter. So that song is playing in my head, remembering Courtney Cox. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting on this, they actually put me in a director's chair with the whole crew but Courtney. And in front of me is the kitchen from Cougartown. Goodman's to my right, we're talking, we're hanging out. And all of a sudden, the world stops. I look straight ahead, and there's Courtney Cox, maybe 10 yards away. And we're inside, but somehow the wind is blowing her hair up. Somehow the sun is shining on her, even though we're inside a building. And she walks slowly toward me in slow motion. We've locked eyes. This is an amazing moment. She gets to a foot away, and I swear to you, she goes, "Hi there, I'm Courtney." It was like a Batman voice. I jumped in my chair. "Nice to meet you." I don't know. I don't know what was going on. She needed, you know, she had a little bit of a cold or whatever it was. It was one of the most scarring moments of my life. I actually want, Courtney, if you're listening, I know you don't know who I am, but if you're ever around sports, I would love to just say hello to erase this memory. I mean, it doesn't make sense, right? She has such a wonderful voice. But it was really, really disturbing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. I normally would blame the booze, but I hadn't been drinking any wine. So I just, I don't know if they changed her voice. Can you do that on TV? Can you just like adjust the dials to bring the voice down?
"You're pretty."
Oh my God, thank you. That's just very disturbing. I had a great time filling in on the show. I'm actually back. So Brian Weber, very talented guy, here the last couple of days. We'll be here the next couple of days. Monday and Tuesday, I think, is when Brian's going to be in. I believe I'm in next Wednesday and Thursday, and Brian again on Friday. We've got you covered. And he said this yesterday. He tweeted this out yesterday. This is the best audience in the business. And you're lucky, and I'm lucky, if you get the chance to have some of your time. A buddy of mine who was aware that when you fill in for Jim Rome, sometimes you're going to get crushed on Twitter, asked me if it bothers me. And I said it's the opposite. Even if you hate what you're listening to, and some of you do and some of you don't, very appreciative of your time, and I am well aware, I really am, of the gigantic shoes that cannot be filled, but that's the attempt you make when you sit in this chair when Jim's not around. So thanks to each and every one of you for listening, for participating, for hanging out, whether you're doing it on CBS Sports Radio or you're watching on CBS Sports Network. I really hope, and we'll just see the way the news goes, I'd love next Wednesday and Thursday when I'm in to be able to have some sports conversations that are based on some real positive momentum. It certainly doesn't feel like that's the direction things have gone, not just over the last 3 months, but over the last 3 or 4 days. The Big Ten making the decision to go with only conference games. The NBA continuing to hold its breath to see whether or not this bubble is going to work. Guys like Richard Sherman probably accurately offering up some skepticism as to whether or not a sport like football is going to be able to be conducted in any way that protects people from transmission of the virus. I mean, the positivity, really, you have to look at soccer, at least internationally, certainly not the MLS. We know that teams have pulled out. But at least we've seen in La Liga and EPL, Champions League coming up in August, the ability to get sports out there. We've seen golf, and golf should be a no-brainer, the ability to get sports out there. We saw breaking news today, MLB reporting the number of coronavirus, COVID-19 positive tests that came from 5,400 plus tests, under 2%, in the 1% range. So hopefully, as all of us as a country try to get our arms around this thing, we can also figure out a way to do sports in a way that is safe and that is appropriate and that protects the people that are on the field and in the arenas. My name is Bill Ryder. This is the Jim Rome Show. Thank you for listening. Wear a mask. Be safe. Be healthy. Have a great, great weekend. And as always, thank you to Jim. Thank you to Craig Kitchen. Thank you to Adam Hawk and Garrett Ridd and everyone who allows me to, every time I come into the studio, have one of the thrills of my career. Appreciate everybody very much. See you next week. Thanks again. This is the Jim Rome Show.
Today's Friday.